Turn with me in your Bible to the 40th Psalm, the Psalm number 40. Let us pray. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. You'll find at the doors of the church the issue for this time of the British Church newspaper. If you don't know this newspaper, it is a fundamentalist defending of the faith paper. But they carry a story of the media suppressing what really happened in and among the miners in Chile. Two old-fashioned born-again people had a lot to do with what was happening among those men caged in and with 700,000 tons of rubble over their heads that had collapsed. And one of these men was an evangelical pastor. And another on the outside was the same. And they had the means of getting copies of the scripture down in to the entrapped miners. And every miner got a copy of the Word of God. And they had two great Bible teaching times, one in the morning and one in the evening. And a great work of grace was done. But the media was instructed that none of this was to be told to the world. Well, I'm glad the world has heard it. And it's great to know that there's one person that never fails. And that's Jesus Christ. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. Do pray for those men that will see every one of them soundly converted to the Lord. As I was reading this and rejoicing over it and thanking God for it, my mind was turned this week to the great 40th Psalm. And I want to turn with you to this Psalm this morning. And I want you to look with me at the first three verses of this Psalm. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. God is a prayer answering God. And he desires to answer the petitions squeezed out of the heart of the believer in days of trial and difficulty and disappointment and sorrow. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. My every one of those men could say that they were brought up out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And God set their feet upon a rock and established their going. And he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. I do like that verse. Many shall see it. It doesn't say that they heard it from the first, but they saw it. Some people are better seen singing than heard, and I'm one of them. But thank God the unbeliever can see your rejoicing heart as you're rejoicing in the Lord. And set my feet upon a rock, no more miry clay, no more trying to stand where you can't stand, but the solid rock. And then established my goings. What a wonderful thing this is, what God does to his people. I want you to notice that out of the darkness, out of the bitterness, out of the terror, out of the horrible pit, something happened. A prayer meeting took place. Oh, there's power in prayer. Oh, there's strength in the sinews of intercession. What God does as God's people cry unto him. But your crying and my crying must be characterized with a patient visiting and a patient waiting upon God. I waited patiently. The trouble with us, we want the answer, what we wanted in our time. You only get answer to your prayers in God's time. He sets the calendar for all praying. So you may say, people come to me and say to me, I have been praying for my son, for my daughter, for my neighbor, and I can't see anything happening. Why? Because the answer comes in God's time, not in our time. I waited patiently. The people of God need a baptism of waiting patiently, not giving up, not stopping their prayer, not finishing their intercession and asking until the Lord has answered the prayer. A man asked me today, how long do you pray? I say, I pray till I get the answer. That's when you pray. And you can't dictate the calendar of God. But thank God you can pray until you get the answer. That's our job. And here we have this wonderful word of encouragement. Wait patiently for God's time. God has a time for all things. We weren't all saved at the same hour of the same day by the same sermon. God has his time of saving and his time of answering prayer. Oh, that God would baptize us with patience. And instead of trying to hurry the Almighty, we would wait upon him and get to know his calendar and his way of working. And what happened here? Well, this man was brought up out of this dark dungeon that he was in. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my prayer. And when God hears your prayer, you've got the answer. You need to pray until he hears you. But once your prayer gets the ear of God, then your prayer will be answered. God give us men and women, boys and girls, that have learned to pray until they capture the ear of God. That's what happened, those four young men in Kell's old school in the year 1859. They prayed until God gave them the answer. And their prayer meeting started and then was reduced in numbers. And many a person would have said, well, stop. There's no revival coming. But they prayed harder because their numbers were subtracted from. And then suddenly, at the very time that God had marked for that great revival to come to this province, the showers of blessing came. God revived his work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, he made known his will. I waited but patiently for the Lord. We have to pray and keep praying until God answers the prayers. And our prayer ceases to be asking, and it becomes a prayer of thanksgiving for what the Lord has done for us. So the first thing, we must wait until the prayer is answered. But notice, secondly, you'll find that the psalmist here tells us all that the Lord did for him. God always gives you good measure, pressed down and running over. This man prayed that God would hear his cry. And he brought me up. Look at this. Also. There are always alsos to the prayers when you're praying in the right manner. God doesn't just dot the I and stroke the T and shut you down. Still there's more to follow. More and more. More and more. Still there's more to follow. Look at this also. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. How horrible that pit was for those miners. I asked myself the question when I read about it, what would you have done? Well, there's one thing I would have done. I'd have done exactly as they did. I would have prayed to God. And I'd have prayed to God for patience. Notice the psalmist saw the horribleness of that pit that he was in. He offered no arguments about that. He says, I am in a horrible pit. But the Lord brought me up also out of the horrible pit. God changes circumstances. God changes situations. And God changes persons when he works. And the toughest sinner can be saved. And the most worrying member of the congregation that is a believer but has turned themselves into the devil's nuisance. Thank God, God can change them and make them what he wants them to be in spirit and in truth. And he brought me out of the miry clay. I was looking that word up in the Hebrew, and that word meant the most slippery clay that you could put your foot in. It was ground that couldn't carry the weight of the human body. Therefore, when you stood on it, down you went. Well, thank God, even in the most slippery of places, God can hold up his people. And even in the most testing of circumstances, God can preserve his people in their going out and coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he did more than that. He gave me a solid foundation. He set my feet upon a rock. The entire country type of ground. A ground in which you could have a good foundation and you could stand without fear. And that is the ground he took him to. Out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, he set my feet upon a rock. And then he did something more. He established my goings. He said, you're not going to fall. You've said goodbye to the miry clay. You've said goodbye to the horrible pit. And I have brought you to this solid rock, and I have established your going. So God does not only bring us up, but thank God he keeps us up. When God does a job in the human soul, he does it well. Salvation is a well done job. I have seen men who were drunkards and gamblers and ne'er-do-wells filled with the devil and with Beelzebub. And I've seen them transformed by the mighty grace of God. Why? Because God brings them out of the horrible pit. He brings them out of the miry clay. He cleans their shoes. He puts them on a rock. And he gives them a handrail. He says, I'll establish your going. You're not going to stand just on the bare rock. There's a handrail on each side of you. And I'm behind you. I'm above you. I'm beneath you. And I'm before you. Couldn't get better than that. That's safety with a capital S. That's God's salvation. And that's what God does when he takes a dealing with us. And then there's something else here. He puts a new song in my mouth. That is, he takes over my mouth and gives me a song that he puts there. This is not a manufactured song. This is God's song. And in it, there's good, sound theology. There are hymns that are nonsense. And there are choruses that are nonsense, and they should not disgrace any hymn book, for there's no gospel in them. But thank God there are hymns that have blessed the hearts of men for generations. Who were they? They were written by God-led men who had the experience of what they were singing about and what they were propagating. He put a new song in my mouth. Even praise of the denomination I belong to. Never read that in the Bible. God is not interested in denominational glory. He's interested in the glory of his wonderful Son, the Son of his love. And he says, even praise unto our God. And this praise can be seen. This praise can be feared. And this praise can give you trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. We need, as we come to direct our prayers to God for revival blessing, we need to know that that blessing is made of God, is a gift of God, is imparted to us by God. And God does not respect the proud, or those that turn to falsehoods. God respects the man that maketh the Lord his trust. You see, the first thing in these verses is what God makes you. And in this verse 4, it's what man makes himself in the sight of God. There's not only God's responsibility and the wonder that he takes us and does with us what he does. But thank God when he does it, he causes me to kneel my covers to the masthead and to say the Lord is my trust. I need no other argument. I want no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. God has no respect for the proud. Pride does not flourish in the courts of the Lord. Humility is a mark that you're walking with God, not pride. And then pride takes you where? Aside to lies, falsehoods, the breaking of the commandments, and the rejection of God's word. Many, O Lord my God, art thy wonderful works. The wonderful works of God. That's where we should live. That should be all around us, the wonderful atmosphere of God's working, which thou hast done. Hands of God's work, let the great worker himself take over the work. Let us be spectators rather than dictators. Let us stand in awe and sin not. For the Lord himself will give us the blessing and the power. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. Have you ever sat down and asked yourself the question, what is God thinking about me today? God has thoughts about every one of us. Maybe it would scare you if you saw God's thought book. There's one thing you can be sure of. He knows every failure. He knows every sin. He knows every misdemeanor. He knows every action. But as the old evangelist said, he loves us just the same. No act of ours can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful lover the Son of God is to his people. And here he says, your thoughts to us were, they cannot be reckoned up in order. I was telling you about those affidavits, and if you started reading them today, take you 11 years. My friend will be reading of the goodness of God for us in heaven, not for 11 years, but from the to the unending ages of eternity. The library of heaven is filled with the books of what is God has done and will do for our souls. C.H. Spurgeon in one of his sermons says, I'll stand at Glory Corner. And he said, I'll have a multitude of angels listening and tell them what God has done for my sinful soul. Oh, the joy of witnessing for what God has done for their soul. Look at this. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. Even the celestial body and brain will not be able to reckon up the order of what God did for my soul. If I would declare and seek of them, they are more than can be numbered. You'll never run out in heaven of some great blessing that you need to ask God for and God gave you even when you were in time in this world. And then, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Where is all this glory? The glory of Emmanuel's land is in Emmanuel. And what does he say? He says, take down the book and look at the law within our hearts. Take down the book. I have hid thy righteousness in my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold on me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O God, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice. Rejoice, dear believer. Be glad in your Lord. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. This psalm started with our poverty, waiting upon the Lord. It ends with the meeting of that poverty by God's wonderful grace and power. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. What a blessing that today God thinks upon me. And when I think of that, I say, Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. May the Lord come and fill our souls with his presence and power for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy good and precious word from thy lips. We thank thee for the warmth of thy heart that's on thy word, for the wisdom of thy mind that is in thy word, and the love of thine inmost being, the whole capacity of thy heart to love us. O God, we pray that the rivers may flow to us today, rivers that cannot be passed over, and we may plunge into the water of life and receive its healings gladly and with rejoicing on our tongues. Lord, make us men and women who say continually, Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. May the Lord bless our hearts this day from this thinking upon thine eternal truth for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, Amen.